Hi, I'm Kristen Hatcher, host of Power User Podcast, and with me today is Brad Wardell, and we're doing a special episode, or a special segment, I should say, of this week's show, dedicated entirely to PDC, because, Brad, you had the opportunity to actually go to PDC, right?
That's right. I was there. I got indoctrinated. They gave me the special Kool-Aid and sent me on my way with the propaganda to spread to the masses.
Excellent. I'm glad to
hear
it.
The Book of Origin here, and they all and hallowed are the Ori.
Well, excellent. So PDC, Professional Developers Conference, right?
Yes.
So did they actually talk about anything other than what Microsoft is doing, or is it entirely a Microsoft
It's pretty
thing?
Much everything that Microsoft's doing, but okay. Since, you know, Microsoft's pretty much put every other software developer of any size out of business at this point, you know, I
mean, or under their thumb, right?
Or under their thumb, it doesn't really matter. I mean, are other companies doing anything, and if so, does it really matter as far as consumers are concerned? But, yeah, they sent us there, and I as I was listening to all the incredible cool technologies, especially with Windows Vista, I couldn't help but think, you know, I wonder if anyone at Microsoft's regretting now that every time they come out with any version of Windows, no matter how piddly, that they've always say, this is the most significant version of Windows ever. Because when it actually is the most significant version of Windows ever, they're like the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, that's probably true. So you have great hopes for Vista. You really think it's going to be the next great thing in OS, at least the Microsoft OS.
For any OS. I mean, okay. It really is a huge change. And it's kind of technical. I'll try not to go overboard. But
right, because I am a girl and all, and I couldn't possibly.
Yeah, don't ask me. I'm just a girl.
Exactly. That's what I usually say around the office, right?
That's good. Yeah, well, yeah. Your job is to look pretty and smile a lot. Right?
Yeah, because it makes a difference on the podcast.
Yeah, well, you know, they say if you're not smiling behind the voice, they can tell.
It's true, though. It is true. All right, so anyway, technical stuff.
Technical stuff.
Right.
All right.
Here we go.
So, as the Windows we know today, Windows XP is built on like a 5,000-year-old foundation. I mean, the pyramids in Giza, that's where Windows that we know today came from. I mean, it has this thing called GDI for doing the graphics, and the graphics in Windows XP even today are based on the idea of 16 colors, no alpha channel. In fact, most people listening to this probably don't even know what an alpha channel is. Well, no. Our users, of course, know what a power channel is.
Well, of course, because they're power users.
But, yeah, exactly. But different levels of visibility, so to speak. So you have GDI, 2D, no 3D. They've patched it, hacked it, extended it in various ways. They have GDI Plus and other people have managed to get video onto the desktop, though usually it's incredibly hacky. You know, you move the window around, the video doesn't keep up with the window. You know,
right.
Way to go. And, of course, getting Direct3 on a desktop, as long as there isn't two programs trying to use the your 3D card at the same time, you're usually okay. So you had that. Then you had the wonderful networking soup underneath that has given us so many wonderful viruses and spyware. And indeed, Windows Vista is not going to be a happy time for the spyware industry per se, but so you had that.
So you think with Vista we're going to have less spyware and that kind of thing?
Yeah, or at least more. It'll be higher quality anyway.
Okay. It'll take some effort and brains to create the spyware that's going to work out in Vista.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to. It's kind of hard to imagine today, but I mean, and I admit fully, I was part of this thought process back in the early '90s of kumbaya on networking. We would all just share, and you know, sure, we'd have security, but it wouldn't need to be very much because we just want to share our stuff openly with other people, and what's the big deal?
Mm-hmm.
And so when all the networking APIs in Windows NT 3.1 back in 1990. Probably 94, mm-hmm. 93 maybe. NT 3.1, I can't remember exactly when it was released. But
I'm shocked that you don't remember exact dates.
Well, there was 3.1, and I think it was in 93, and then there was NT 3.5, which I think was in 94, and then NT 4.0 in 1996. But I don't.
Something like that.
So I was an OS2 guy at that point.
Right, that's true.
And so, but all the networking protocols back then were written on without security really being a big deal because people weren't such bastards or something back then. Anyway, so you have network, and then you have Win32, which was really just an extension of Win16, which was just complete hack. I mean, in terms of naming conventions. The OS2 API, mind you, was much better. You had APIs that had nice naming conventions, whereas in Windows you have things like paint window or just, you know, no. Anyway, don't even get me started on it.
Right. We
so,
don't have that.
Without using the entire podcast, getting on to the old API, what Microsoft is doing with Windows is replacing all that with a new set of APIs that are written for today and tomorrow. So you have what's been called Avalon, which has now been rebranded as Windows Presentation Foundation. And that's an API that takes into account doing 3D. Everything in Windows Vista natively is going to be a 3D surface, so that's pretty cool.
Okay, that is all right. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, especially in years. I mean, they had demos there that were just incredible. And then you have a new set of networking APIs, which has been called Indigo, but it's now called Windows Communication Foundation.
You know, I gotta say, their code names are a lot better than the actual names.
Yeah, I know. I really like Avalon and Indigo. Those are cool names. Windows Presentation Foundation,
so much. Yeah.
Yeah, at least I can remember it now, so it makes me feel like a big man.
That's good.
And then you have what they couldn't classify, they called .NET. And that's just everything else. And all that together is called the WinFX API. So the first of many examples of Microsoft making use of Stardock naming conventions for something.
Mm-hmm.
Not usually, I mean, on accident. I guess, you know, just mediocre minds think alike or something like that. 'Cause I remember when we launched our .NET initiative back in 99. And then Microsoft, you know, came out with their own .NET a year later.
Right.
And now we have WinFX. Stardock released WinFX a few years ago, and here's WinFX, the API. And then they came out with Windows Binary Web or some. They came out with they're using currently in the beta, they're using .WBA, which is our Window Blinds file extension. We're trying to get them to fix that because that's a.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's quite a big deal since there's thousands and thousands of Window Blinds skins that would be affected by that.
Yes.
But and so now there's WinFX. So anyways, Microsoft has completely replumbed. Is that the right word?
Sure.
Let's go with that.
That's a good analogy, at least.
The Windows environment, the development environment for Windows. So it's very, very cool.
Cool.
So, but they also came up with a bunch of development tools that are all new in order to make this cool stuff.
Right. This is actually the part that's interesting, I think.
Well, to you and your kind.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they came out with a new suite called Expression. I should say it came out in the sense that they announced it but aren't giving it to people yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're groveling everywhere we can to try to get more get copies of it for our development teams.
Sure.
But Expression is a suite of three programs. One is called Sparkle, which lets designers, 3D designers, literally design up their applications and then export them out as XAML, X-A-M-L, and to give them to a developer who's using, say, Visual Studio 2005, who can now wire it up. See, in the old days, a skinner slash graphics designer, whatever you'd call them, mocks up the UI as a bunch of bitmaps or something, sends it over to the developer who then carves it up into pieces and tries to make it look kind of like what they originally got, but usually end up looking like a mess. In Windows Vista, the graphics designer slash artist, whatever, has complete control over that. They create Sparkle, which is one of the programs that makes up Expression, exports it, and now the developer doesn't have to mess with that design. It's part of the application, which is just phenomenal. So you'd actually could make a application that is pretty 3D-like, do it in Maya or 3D Studio, export it as XAML, then import it into Sparkle and start wiring it up. So you can imagine making just all kinds of crazy
stuff. Right.
Yeah.
It's a shame they named it Sparkle because that's not a great name, I think.
I like
it's
Sparkle.
It's like the cool product out of the Expression suite, apparently, but it's I don't like.
Well,
they
had the Dreamweaver clone, Quartz. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, edit that out.
No.
They have the Quartz, which is like an advanced web development tool, and then they have Acrylic, which is an It's kind of like a CorelDRAW / Photoshop, but specifically designed for application development. So people have used the beta and go, well, this isn't as good as Photoshop. It's like, well, no kidding. It's not designed to compete with Photoshop. It's designed to make application interfaces and that kind of thing.
Well, that's very cool. That's very cool.
But wait, that's not all.
There's more.
Yes, they finally got around to announcing their gadget initiative. So they brought back to Sidebar, probably because Google was doing a Sidebar. I don't know. And the Sidebar in Windows Vista is really just a container for what Microsoft is calling gadgets, which is nice because that's what we call our little thingies.
Our mini programs.
Our mini applications that don't require a runtime. So their gadgets and our gadgets are basically the same. And from an end-user point of view, they are identical. So that is going to save us a lot of marketing money.
Excellent.
Microsoft's going to go out and, I hope, evangelize the wonders of gadgets. And
absolutely.
We can put our resources into actually making said gadgets, whether you make them with Desktop X Pro or a Visual Studio / Sparkle combo. But at the end, a gadget is a gadget is a gadget. Users aren't going to care.
That's good. Because they don't have to download some separate program in order to run these mini applications. They're just an actual mini application. You download it, and that's it. It runs.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Well, I will say gadgets are very bad news for widgets.
Ah.
Because with a widget, whether that be, and I'm, that affects Desktop X, because Desktop X makes widgets as well.
Mm-hmm.
But whether it be Desktop X or Samurais or Capsules or Confabulator or
the
whatever.
Former Confabulator, Yahoo widgets.
Yahoo widgets. The problem there is, here's a really cool thing that lets me look at the latest, NFL scores. Oh, but first I have to go download this 10-megabyte program in order to use it first. Well, a gadget, you just download the thing and it works,
right,
and that's pretty nice.
So people who already have a widget program like Desktop X or Capsules or Avdesk or whatever, they don't care because they already have that program.
They already have
that
program.
So that won't affect that market. But people who don't want to download an extra program, gadgets are going to be...
Well, the best way to look at gadgets versus widgets, and probably a lot more needs to be written so that people understand that they're really, it's not just a marketing term. There really is a difference between what a gadget is and a widget, is that... Mm-hmm. Gadgets, because they are standalone, it doesn't matter how they're created. So, there's no sort of competition. A lot of people have emailed me and go, ooh, well, Microsoft's getting into the gadget business. Aren't you worried? And they're like, well, no. I mean, that creates a bit more of a business for us because we want people to make gadgets.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's widgets that we got our asses kicked on because, Confabulator's marketing just blew us out of the water.
Yeah.
On that sort of thing. Because people go, oh, well, look, it's a ripoff of Confabulator, and I'm just tearing my hair out. Well, Desktop X was doing this back in 99. In fact, Moore McGill wrote up an article talking about, here's some widgets he did back in 1999 for Desktop X. Your typical, your CPU meter, an MP3 player, and their weather, and they didn't have RSS back then, but news tickers and stock tickers, all using their own particular format. But, but obviously if you can just double-click on a thing you download and it just works because it's part of the operating system natively, that's going to have a huge advantage over something that says, oh, well, you like this? Now you have to go download a 10-megabyte thing to use it.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. And, of course, in defense of widgets, you only have to download that 10-megabyte thing once, and then widgets you want to run, of course, you can run.
But there are a few other things that, from a developer's point of view, that widgets, and this, again, goes for Desktop X widgets. I mean, I don't want to poo-poo Desktop X widgets because, anyone who gets Object Desktop ends up with this ability anyway. So it's it doesn't hurt Desktop X as much as, the standalone widget enablers. But if I'm a developer, and non-developers may not understand this, but there's only so many APIs you can remember in your head. If I can make a gadget using C# or XAML or VB.net, that's going to have a lot more. As a developer, I can use that in all kinds of areas for real application. But if I had to learn a Confabulator API or a Desktop X API or a Capsules API, well, they use .net, but some widget enabler specific little language scripting file, even if it's JavaScript, but I'm having to use their APIs, that's a big disadvantage because I can't take that experience and then turn it into, load up Visual Studio and start using the same thing.
Okay, so a lot of interesting stuff in the gadget arena.
Yeah, going. I mean, obviously, since that's our, one of the things I work on, I paid a lot more attention to that. But there's,
And you
they had Office 12 there.
Now, I was going to ask about that. I've heard some stuff about Office 12.
they've gone crazy. They completely redesigned the user interface for it. I mean, it's a radical change, and I'm not sure how people are going to feel about it.
Right, right. In general, people like to see the same things with kind of minor changes. But then, you know.
Yeah, but on the other hand, OpenOffice and other freeware competitors are starting to nudge in there and catch up.
Yeah.
I think Microsoft felt they needed to get – I think Microsoft probably had a meeting and said, you know, people don't realize just how many features Office really has because they're so buried. And no one wants to turn on every toolbar in the program because it would be all toolbars.
Right.
So then they decide, well, let's have something called ribbons. And they're like, they're kind of like toolbars, but they're context sensitive. So when you go into a particular area of the program, the upper part of the interface changes to a different ribbon that has the, they're much bigger than toolbars, which is both good and bad. In the beta, the I thought the ribbons graphics were terrible. They must have missed the meeting where Microsoft said that developers need to make their applications look visually more enticing.
Right, right.
But I think the concept is very solid if they can make sure, one, that they're fast. That is, if I switch to a different inserting a graphic into my document, for example, if there's a noticeable delay in bringing up that ribbon, that's going to kill it. Right? Because right now I can go to insert image in 2 seconds, you know, not even 2 seconds. Whereas now if I go to the context of Office of Word to start doing things with graphics, and it takes a half second to bring up that ribbon, that's going to be awful. Because no one's going to put up with that nowadays, I don't think. Well, actually, people will because they, you know, they just always have.
Right. Right, but we're getting, I think we, in general, are becoming more savvy computer users, so that kind of thing may not be so acceptable.
So we'll see what, we'll see how they do. I do think if they can get real graphics designers make sure that all the ribbon graphics look presentable, then it won't look so, you know, what I saw, it looked like a hodgepodge of different toolbar icons from all kinds of sources that they just, you know, they dug through. If someone from Microsoft's listening to this, they're probably going, yeah, we had to, you know, we just have this big library of old icons and we just dug into it for these icons. Right. Because that's how it looked to me.
So it sounds like, you know, one of the big things that's coming out of this is, you know, developers, whether at Microsoft or anywhere, really needs to spend time making their interfaces look good, and they have that technology now, so they need to put it to use.
Yeah, it is. I tell you, this is a, if you're a 3D artist, a 3D modeler, texture unwrapper, whatever you want to call yourself, or a graphics designer, Windows Vista is the greatest thing ever. Because those people will be in high demand. Because they are making the system such that those people are front and center in the application design. It's developers are equal partners now with graphics designers rather than you have the developer, the coder, and the graphic designer is just throwing off little bits of bitmaps to you.
Cool. I wish I was a graphic designer.
Yeah, me
unfortunately,
too.
I'm not.
Yeah, well, you know, as a coder, I have to put up with these graphic designers. Oh. Now they're equals, you know, they have their own application. They're developing side by side with me, like, as if they're full-fledged people. And here I've been sticking them with pins and such all these years. And
right, no more of that.
Now, obviously, as since we run WinCustomize.com, we're pretty excited by that because we have a very high concentration of access to developers, co-developers now of graphical people. And I think one of the things WinCustomize is going to have to do going forward is it's going to have to provide more opportunities for these graphics designers because companies are going to be looking for people to help make their apps not look like, you know, ass.
Yeah.
And so they'll come to sites like WinCustomize. You know, I think one of the things we'll have to do is become almost like a broker to help put them in touch with these guys.
Well, that'll be great because you already have these. I mean, there's so many fantastic artists that come and put their stuff on WinCustomize. So you're prepped. You're primed.
We're primed. Yeah, WinCustomize is primed. And we have what we think is a killer Avalon app in development that I can't speak of yet because not that Microsoft copies anything we do, but strangely enough, it seems like everything, you know, what we do ends up as part of the OS. So we'd rather we'd rather this feature be part of the next version of Windows. And, right. I mean, the one after Windows Vista, not part of this one.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of keep it tight. But there's some really huge opportunities for not just Starlock, but all kinds of developers to create really exciting, innovative things that just weren't possible under the last version.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear it. And so it's becoming a little bit more exciting. You know, at first it's kind of like, in my opinion, it was like, you know, what's coming next with Vista? I'm not so sure I'm interested. But now, after, you know, hearing some of the exciting things that have been coming out of this PDC meeting, conference, I should say, it's getting more and more exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It is. It is. And I finally got to meet a lot of people I've only known online. Though I miss Paul Thoreau. We were supposed to meet up at Universal Studios. But like dummies, we got there and they had all the rides free. And I didn't know anything about Universal Studio. But Microsoft opened up Universal Studios for all us geeks to go there. And they
wow.
set up these huge trays of chocolate.
Oh, boy. That's your weakness, as we know.
Yeah, one of them. And and I'm like kind of like a dog in the sense that if you put it in front of me, I'm eating it. So I ate a whole bunch of chocolate, and then I went on all the rides in a row, me and the Green Reaper. And by the time we'd finished the Back to Future ride, I was like,
I don't feel so good.
I don't think I'll be seeing Paul tonight. I think I need to go and lay down now.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. And Robert Scoble was there, and I got some cool shirts.
Cool.
From him that I groveled, and you got to meet the development team, and so that was pretty cool.
It sounded like it was a fun time, and
it was. It was really fun. You missed out.
Yeah. Well, I wish I had somebody to take me there.
Don't cry, little buckaroo.
Yeah, maybe next year. All right, excellent. So just as a reminder, when is the current planned release of Vista?
That's more like a Deadpool guess. Right? No one knows for sure. Here's the Brad Wardell guess.
Okay.
October 2006.
Okay. And
so if I get that, I don't get a kick in the butt.
I get to tell myself I knew.
Yeah.
Good job.
And say, woohoo!
Yeah.
USA!
Right. So what do they have any of the new programs or components of Vista that might be coming out before Vista is released?
No, actually. I was really surprised on some of the cool stuff they showed. Oh, by the way, you won't get a hold of this for another year. There had a whole bunch of stuff that I was interested in that won't be out until Office 12 ships, I was like, wow, I guess we've totally given up on worrying about the Justice Department in the sense that a whole bunch of third-party development tools will not be available until Microsoft Office 12 ships.
Right.
And and then, because I think there's like Windows, what was it, Visual Studio for Applications or something like that. I don't remember exactly what. I think that was one of the things that required Office 12, but I could be mistaken on that.
Mm-hmm.
And Office 12 won't be out for quite a while. The Visual Studio 2005 release candidate was given out. That will be out pretty soon. And you can already make XAML. There's some pretty good third-party XAML programs like XAMLon and such stuff like that. So that's, I think you'll be able to do cool stuff there, but who knows how long it'll take before Vista itself is mature enough that you'll want to run Vista Pro. I mean, heck, last time I checked, you couldn't even get the compositor working on the GeForce cards.
Mm.
You know, luckily,
how
many people run NVIDIA cards?
it can't be many.
Yeah.
Right. So people who would like to do some development for Vista are just going to be stuck, you know, trying to brush up on their XAML skills with some of those third-party apps and basically just waiting.
I hope Microsoft... I mean, there's plenty of documentation online. I don't know about you, though, but I'm a book person. I don't like reading docs online. I mean, I'm used to it because, I mean, as nature of business, we're always writing on the cutting edge, but I really would like to have a XAML book and an Avalon book just handy so I can look at those APIs, an Indigo book. Just let me see. I'm sure they have a Red Book or something somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be helpful. Okay, so Microsoft, I'm sure everybody at Microsoft is listening to this particular podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Help us out, will you?
Yeah. And stop using the .wba extension.
Yes, please.
Don't make me come up there.
Yeah, I'm sure they're scared now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much for joining me today, Brad. This podcast, of course, is sponsored by WinCustomize.com, as well as NeoWin.net and Quarter2Three.com. And you'll be able to find this segment on PowerUser.tv. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.